Stephen Rose here with Stephen Guggenheimer. Thanks for joining me today.
Happy to be here.
Great keynote this morning. We just kicked off our Ignite for Your Business tour talking about Windows 10 and Office.
Yeah.
So I had a chance to ask you some questions. I thought this was great. So we had Metro apps, and then we had modern apps. Now we have universal apps. What is a universal app?
Well, sort of by definition, a universal app is an application that will run across all of the Windows 10 devices. We've spent years moving essentially from three platforms, a phone platform, a sort of PC tablet platform, and an Xbox platform, to one platform that works across all of them, even IoT. And a universal app then is written to the new API set that is built on top of Windows 10 or for Windows 10. Mm-hmm. And then if you build on top of that API set, you can essentially build an application that will run across any Windows 10 device.
Okay. So how easy is it for someone who had written a Windows 8 app to turn that into a universal app?
Well, a lot of the 8 apps, at least the 8.1 apps, are sort of universal across phone and PC to start with. It depends on how the app was built.
Right.
So in general, it can be a little bit of work, or it could be more work depending on, you know, did you write it in C# and XAML? Did you write it in C++? Which APIs did you take advantage of? So at the end of the day, from a design style, that part would be pretty easy. From UX side, that part would be pretty easy. From the notion of live tiles or notification center, that part would be pretty easy. At the core of the application, there's likely to be some work done. We've had pretty good experience working with folks like Fitbit or Netflix or Twitter or others as they've moved their apps over. And overall, the experience has been good.
Yeah, so as you resize that app, it automatically goes to that size and you can see exactly what it's going to look like in those form factors. And then is it an update at once? It updates across now all of these devices? So if you have it for Xbox and for Windows, let's say an app.
Well, look, on both cases, you can resize it across all of the devices. You don't have to. You can choose which devices or stores you want to show up in. You are likely going to have different UI elements for different size screens, but we've built some controls that scale naturally as long as you have the UI elements. You can build your own controls. And then in terms of updating, in the same way we're going to run the OS as a service, we're going to update apps automatically that are downloaded through the store. And you could decide, hey, I want to update the Xbox One version today, but not the phone and the PC. So you have the fidelity in the manifest to decide sort of what you download to what devices and also what you upgrade and when you upgrade it. We'll help. We'll make it automatic for the end user. But again, it's sort of up to you how you sort of deliver and manage your app.
Okay. We have developers here today, which are absolutely your bread and butter. Yep. We have IT pros here, which are mine.
Yep.
What are some things that the average IT pro, two or three things that they should know about building apps for Windows that maybe they don't or don't normally know?
Well, you know, in terms of building apps, the notion of building an application that runs across all the devices, is pretty powerful.
Yeah.
The second is, there's a lot of things you can do with existing code you have today. So if you have a web experience, and lots of line of business apps are done as web experiences, you can actually wrap that web experience and put it into the store and still take advantage of the APIs, like notifications, like live tiles. So there's a nice blend in terms of applications as we might think of them, Win32 or .NET, and web experiences. You can do the same thing with some of the middleware like Cordova or Unity for games. So there's lots of tools for building apps or moving code over that you already have. Even over time, we'll make Win32 available in the store.
Wow.
And the third thing, of course, is security. We've done so much for security and management in Windows 10 that while not directly connected to the app, it'll make you feel better about the apps you're running.
Awesome. You talked about HoloLens today.
Yeah.
We've had some new developer kits. Let's say somebody goes, I think HoloLens is right for my business. Where do they sort of start and what's available for them today?
Well, the nicest thing is that Windows 10 is available for them today. And HoloLens, by definition, is part of the same platform. So if you're building for Windows 10, you're already building for HoloLens. There's some other gestures and things you can add over time in the same way you might add inking support or gesture support for Xbox One. HoloLens has some other gestures or ways of interacting with it. But the core app is the same. The second thing is there are dev kits coming out. They're sort of for commercial to start with. There's a process by which you go to the website and you can apply to get one. They'll be somewhat limited to start with. We want to learn as we go and we want to make sure we're scaling at the right speed. But building for Windows 10 and then going to the HoloLens website and sort of applying essentially to be one of the candidates for an application are the two things to do today.
How excited are you about HoloLens?
Oh, I love it. I have to temper. Look, it takes a little while to bring something like that to market at scale.
Right.
So we want to be really smart. But I can tell you as a physicist by trade who worked in the laser industry for 5 years, that's probably the coolest mixture of technology that I've had the opportunity in 20 plus years in this industry to work with, because it blends my old world and this world. It'll take a little while to get to the broad masses, I think it will be transformative in terms of how people think about interacting with the world they're in, about computing. It, the notion of going to a device to interact with it versus just naturally interacting with the world you're in, it's a game changer.
Yeah, and people get confused. They think it's virtual reality, which is not. It's augmented reality. Right. We're bringing in holographic elements into the real world around you, allowing you to interact in ways that you couldn't do it before.
Because you're actually looking through a pair of basically clear glasses.
Right.
And you're having the hologram projected, you know, back through your eyes. So you're looking at the room around you, and then you're adding things into it versus living in a virtual world that's completely, you know, different from what the one you're
in. Everything from medical to wedding planners. It opens up some cool stuff.
I hadn't heard the wedding planner one.
But let's think about that. It'd be kind of great for something like that.
That's right. Get the gazebo right.
Exactly. Do you have a favorite device right now?
Honestly, I'm playing with my HP Spectre. I like the HP Spectre. I enjoy it. This, obviously, the Surface Book, that's a heck of a toy. It's the thinness of the tablet component and the lightweight, it's lighter than our old existing Surface device.
It really
is. Really incredible. And so I love this one. Being the old OEM guy, I love my HP, I love my Dell, I love my Lenovo, I love all my children. They're all awesome. I think the most exciting part is I usually judge an operating system by the hardware that's coming out. And there is phenomenal hardware coming out, not just from us, but from all of the OEMs. You see Intel sort of talking a lot about the two-in-ones. I actually think from the notion of a separate tablet, that's starting to fade a little bit as the two-in-ones, people
Absolutely.
Really get to see what's going on, and I could not be more pleased with the hardware that's coming out.
What's that old thing? The chip brings the promise of the device to life, and the operating system brings that. So that triad of the three and how quickly we're moving forward, the great new chipsets, amazing new devices, and what we're seeing with Windows 10, it really is this beautiful evolution.
Yep.
So someone's out there, they want to go learn more about developing for Windows, some of the new things that we've brought out beyond Sienna, easier ways to make apps. Where does somebody start?
Well, for finding information, like, you can always go to MSDN if you're a developer, Microsoft Developer Network. That's the starting point for anything. You could obviously go directly to the Windows Dev Center. There is an App Center, an app tool, App Studio that we've been working on to make it really easy to help somebody if you've never built an app before.
I played with it a few days ago.
You know, like a three-step process and off you go. So my strong recommendation is start with MSDN. If you've never built an app, go look for App Studio. If you sort of know what you're doing, then head into the Windows Dev Center from there and off you go.
Any big secrets you want to share for Build coming up next year yet?
No. No. You know, to be transparent, we're still in the planning phase. The nice thing is internally, it's sort of this moment where all the dev teams line up. So it's early, but the excitement's already, and we're starting to already have the conversation about what do we want to do, what do we want to show, what are we going to say, what are we going to, so it's all good.
Awesome. It sells out in minutes, so as soon as we announce that.
But we had over 100,000 people online last year, so even though it sells out in person, there's a large audience that follows along, and we're glad we can do that.
With the excitement about Windows 10, should be even bigger this year.
Yep.
Thanks for spending some time.
No worries. Good to see you.
Thank you.